mercies and all comforts. And we need to be grounded in that truth. And to remember that the Lord is for us, not against us. And that's also something that we can struggle with at times. Sometimes, you know, we go through trials for different reasons. We'll talk about a few of those tonight. This won't be comprehensive. We won't answer all the questions tonight. Certainly not. It's just kind of a start into this. And, you know, I don't presume to have all the answers. But we need to understand some truth. And one of them is that God is for us, not against us. And sometimes we can be tempted to think as we go through, as the Lord takes us through things or allows us to experience things or perhaps even brings chastening into our life, we can think that, well, he's out to get us or he's not for us or he's against us. And that's just not true. He never is. He's a loving father. The scripture tells us he's not like human fathers. When my kids get, you know, they frustrate me and I freak out and I, you know, explode in anger and whatever, that's never the Lord's. Never. When the Lord is doing something in our life, it's always with the best of intentions, always for our good, always for his purposes, always out of love, and for correction, for discipline, for conform, whatever the reason is, God is for us in it. And he will not leave us, he will not forsake us, he is for us. And we need to be grounded in that. I mean, we have that in Romans chapter 8, right? Paul says, if God be for us, and it's the rhetorical question, I mean, the answer is obvious, it's not a if, it's a since, right? God is for us. Who or what or anything can be against us, right? God is for us no matter what the difficulties are we face in life. And the reality is that we can face terrible things. And at times we really wonder, you know, where is the Lord in all of this? How could he possibly be involved in this? What on earth is going on in my life? And it's different for every one of us. But God is for us. And who can be against us? And in Romans 8 there, I love this passage. We'll just spend a moment here. Romans 8, 31, and carrying on. He says, he who did not spare his own son, in verse Romans 8, 32, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I mean, the Lord did not withhold the Son of God for you and for me. I mean, that is an incredible thought to just ponder on for a while, right? He did not spare his only son. He did not withhold his beloved son, the one in whom is all his delight, the scripture says, who is the apple of God's eye, who always does everything which pleases him. The two that have such a perfect bond and the perfect love for one another, he did not spare him for you and for me. If that is true, then how will he also not give us all things? And the passage go on. For example, in verse 34, who is he who condemns? Who is Christ who died, you know, who is risen at the right hand of God? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he says nothing, right? Nothing. He says in verse 8, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. That's where we start as we begin to think about the pain, the suffering, the tribulation that comes into our life. This is the truth, beloved, right? And we need to hang on to that and remember that. God is not against us, and he is not out there trying to, you know, get us. John MacArthur was sharing a number of years ago on the radio. I was driving down the road, and he was preaching on something. I can't remember what, but he said something that day that has always stuck with me, and it just rung out. It's so wonderful. And here's what he said. He says, you know, even if God wanted to condemn us, and he says, I say this with all respect, he cannot do it. Because Christ is the propitiation, the full and complete satisfaction and payment for our sins. It is fully done away. And because of that, even if God wanted to, which of course he doesn't, he cannot do it. Otherwise, Christ did not fully satisfy God's righteousness and holiness and dying on the cross.
That's for the Christian.
For the Christians, yeah. Sorry, yes. And so that, as a believer, is our comfort and our base. And that's where we begin our study tonight. So verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so, you know, this word tribulation here, it kind of means a pressing, a pressure, you know. On our lives, you know. And the point is, as the scripture tells us here, that we do receive God's comfort. It may be hard for us to realize it for a while. We might resist, you know, but we do receive God's comfort. And we have here the beginning of some of the reasons why we go go through tribulation, and that is that we might also comfort others who are going through the same things, you see? The Lord uses us to minister to others, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. So God allows us to go through a difficulty, a tribulation, and he brings us comfort in that situation. Why? Well, one of the reasons is that we then might also extend the comfort of God to others who are in any trouble with the same comfort that we ourselves have also received. We have a ministry to other believers in the midst of our difficulties and sufferings, and that's a tremendous opportunity that we have as Christians. I mean, Hebrews 12 says, therefore, strengthen the hands, right, which hang down, and the feeble knees, right? And that's a ministry of encouraging the Lord's people, coming alongside those who have hands which hang down and feeble knees. It's a picture of someone who's really down, right, and needs strengthening, needs encouragement. And then 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. We have a ministry to one another as the Lord's people. And it's another huge topic that we'll talk about, perhaps, Lord willing, in a coming day. But this ministry of encouraging and strengthening one another as the Lord's people. And it's God's intent, you know. I remember, this is kind of a bad example of this, but it's an example nonetheless. But I remember when my oldest daughter was, I don't know, about 10 years old, you know, she was the kind of child that wouldn't go to sleep without all the lights on in the house, you know. And, you know, as the kids get older, you try to shut them off and see if that'll work, and she freaks out, and you know, okay, you turn them back on again, you know. Anyway, because I'm the opposite, I can't sleep unless it's pitch black. If there's even, like, a night light on, I can't go to sleep. So it was irritating to me as a father. And so this was one of these episodes, and she was, and you know, I responded the way I shouldn't. It was enraged. I never struck my daughter, but I was screaming. Like, I was just at the end of myself. I couldn't take it anymore, and I was just unloading on her. And she was, you know, a little girl in her bed there, and obviously she was horrified, and it was very upsetting to her. And when I went back to bed and laid down, you know, the Lord just kind of really burdened my heart, thankfully. And it struck me at that moment, and it was like, well, Mark, like, I put you here as her father to be her comfort. Dummy. And I went back in there and actually apologized to her. And I realized, you know, my role there isn't to, you know, cause my daughter to have nightmares, but rather to be a comfort to her, you see. And that's just a little example, but that's one of the purposes for us as the Lord's people, through our difficulties of life, as the Lord comforts us, we then need to comfort our brothers and sisters and not just abandon them or say, well, they probably don't really, you know, they're going through something over there, I'll just leave them alone. I mean, there's a time for that, but, you know, we need to come alongside. And so one of the reasons why we go through tribulation in life is to be comfort to our fellow believers when they need the encouragement of the Lord. And he puts us here. You know, we've heard this expression, we're his hands and we're his feet. And in many different ways, right, we are the Lord's. This is the Lord's answer to prayer. I was speaking with my cousin a couple of weeks ago. I was actually standing outside the fire hall at youth group, and I have a cousin back home. She's going through a very difficult situation at home with her husband. And, you know, she was just on the phone, desperate, you know, for the Lord to, you know, send her help, send her relief. And I said, Patty, am I not talking to you on the phone? And all I meant by that was, is that, you know, the Lord has put us together right now so that I can encourage you, that I can point you to Christ, you know. And she was like, a light went off. Of course, the prayer has been answered. You called me tonight when I was in distress, and I wasn't thinking of that term, right? So we have a vital ministry as the Lord's people to one another.
I was just thinking about that in terms of everybody's gone through trouble, and how often, you know, probably in this room there's a lot of us that have gone through something, and then we find ourselves ministering to somebody who's going through it. Mm-hmm. And you just don't identify with that until you're there. I mean, I've been at deathbeds and dealt with cancer and all that. But it's a whole different story now when I look at somebody who has cancer or hear somebody has cancer. My prayers are different. The way I treat them are different. Wouldn't have that if we hadn't gone through that. And I'm sure there's stories in this room of, you know, things that you've been through. And you know how it is. Most people who are going through something hard, they want to find somebody who can relate to them. And when they do, there's a connection that happens there. So it's really true. that that comfort we receive is a great opportunity to be able to comfort others. You know, that people are going to go through the same things we go through. Nothing new under the sun.
I mean, there's a story of a guy, and I brought this up at Cape Breton Bible Camp last fall, and Corey and Amy were there, and they identified this guy for me because they heard the same story, but I can never remember the name. I need to look it up, right? But to just make it very brief, there was a fella in the States, and his 12-year-old daughter died under terrible circumstances, and of course it was a real heartbreaker. And as he tells his story, right, at the time that he was going through this, I mean, literally he would look up to heaven and say, like, God, what good can possibly come from this? There is no way that there's anything possible out of this situation, right? And he would go on to tell the story how the Lord would eventually bring him together with another man who had experienced a similar situation, and how they were able to work through this together, comfort one another, and eventually begin a ministry in the U.S., in this girl's name that is now going into prisons, and many souls have come to Christ as a result of it. And so, you know, at the time, it's an excruciating thing, but the Lord can use even these difficult things in life for good purposes as we submit to Him. And what Pierre says is so true. And we're going to speak a little bit more of that when we get to verse 6. So let's just move on here. Verse 5, it says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. And, you know, this word suffering here has the whole idea of pain and hardship behind it. And again, you know, as Paul is saying here, the greater the suffering, the greater the consolation from the Lord. He meets Amen. Us in our need, and He knows what we need at that time, you know. I mean, if I stub my toe, I don't need as much consolation as if I'm, you know, I just got taken to the hospital for a heart attack. You know, it's a different situation. God meets us in our need. And as the it's interesting how he says, as those sufferings abound, and Paul certainly knew what that meant, and we'll talk about that too, so the consolation also abounds. And God's grace is there to meet us, and His mercy, and His comfort. And He's the God of all comfort. And so He's there for us in these things. But in verse 6, it's kind of a little bit of repeat of verse 4, but it's kind of re-emphasizing this point very specifically. If we are afflicted, it's for you, your consolation and salvation, if which is effective for enduring the same sufferings, just what Pierre was talking about, which we also suffer, or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And here's that fine point of walking in another man's shoes, seeing the same experiences of other people, and that it's for others. If we suffer, it's actually for you. If we're comforted, it's actually for you in this particular case, Paul's saying. It's not just about me. It's for you specifically. The Lord is allowing us to go through this suffering and this consolation for you, because He's going to use us in your life. And the obvious implication in these verses is that as we're going through these things, we're growing in the Lord through them as well. We're, you know, as the Lord brings us through something, as we struggle with that, as we wrestle with that, as we understand the consolation of the Lord, we grow with Him. We grow in grace. And we go deeper with Him. And we've come through that trial of faith. And the Lord builds us and comforts us and consoles us and teaches us many things. And we grow. And I believe another key part of it, it's not so mentioned right here, but I think it's implied, is, again, that character of Christ. Right? It's the will of God that the character of Christ be seen in us. And it is, that's what He's at work in our hearts and our lives, to change us, to mold us into His image, and to make us more like His Son day by day. And as we come through these difficulties, and the Lord knew suffering. Yes, He did. The suffering servant. He knew the comfort of God, too. And as we do that, we become more like Him. And then the Lord can use us in the Lord's name. We become more like the Lord Jesus. He's working character as Romans 5 says, right, that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's where it begins. But he also says here that in verse 3, he says, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Now, that's a tough thing to get our minds around. Paul says we glory in tribulations. but he understood that the Lord was at work in that tribulation to produce a result, perseverance, patience, you know, awaiting on the Lord. I'm reminded of another story of a preacher one day, and a lady came in to visit him in the office, and she said, Pastor, I really need you know, more patience in your life, would you pray with me? And as they bowed together, he says, Lord, I pray you'll bring tribulation into the sister's life. And she stopped and said, what are you doing, Pastor? That's not what I asked for. But, you know, well, tribulation works. Patience. Right? And perseverance or patience produces character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And we grow in grace as we go deeper with the Lord as He changes our hearts. I've shared with you little pieces about my daughter's situation, our oldest daughter who left her husband. And for me, that has been one of my biggest, you know, heartaches in life and difficult situations. And, you know, but I can remember very distinctly at times, you know, and I don't believe for a minute, by the way, and I know there's different views on sovereignty, and praise the Lord. You know, I'm not here to argue and debate on that. We can all have a different view, and that's okay. My view is that the Lord doesn't make people do evil things, but he works in amongst those things, and he's over all those things, and he can bring about good through all those things if we're looking to him.
Yeah.
So I don't believe the Lord made my daughter leave her husband, but I believe he's working through that, and I've been able to see that in my own life and in my own heart, and in hers and in others, and you know, but he's at work in that, and he can bring about something. And I can remember a time coming home from, I went for a job interview shortly thereafter, and as I was sitting with the man, he took me out for a wonderful dinner. Man, it was good. Seafood in downtown Coburg. That was my job interview. I still remember the dinner. But you know, the whole time he was talking to me, like I said, this was just a couple of months after that had happened. It was fresh. It was actually just after I went back for family camp from PEI. And, you know, it was still a very raw thing for me emotionally. But the whole time he was sitting there talking to me about the job, all I could think of is this man needs to know the Lord. This man needs to know the Lord. This man needs to know the Lord. And as I drove home that day from the interview, I said, surely, Lord, you know, with all that has gone on in my daughter's life and all that you're doing in my life, surely, Lord, there's more to my life than, you know, than just working for that guy, you know. The Lord works through these circumstances to change our hearts and to develop the character of Christ in us. And that's what's going on here as well. But it's specific. And Pierre brings up such an excellent point that it also helps in these specific situations. I mean, about 6 years ago, Janet's brother committed suicide. And that was a difficult time, you know? Her only sibling. And you know, but there was another couple in our church whose daughter committed suicide when she was 17, a few years before that. And you know, it's very difficult, right? But when you go through that kind of thing, or if it's cancer, right, you pull alongside and you have a completely different level of fellowship and understanding because you've walked that road together. And, you know, we can see how the Lord has used that. And so, you know, I'm not saying that I'm thankful for that bad thing that happened. What I am saying is I'm thankful that I know the Lord in the midst of it, that He's at work in it, and that there can be some good that flows from it in the sense that we as believers then can be used to minister to others and to bring the comfort of God. And we praise the Lord for that, you know. And so I can take some comfort in that as well, to know that it's not just some random, meaningless exercise, but rather that my God, who loves me, who cares for me, who is deeply involved in my life, is working something out here. And he can use this, and he can actually bring good out of it. He can bring good out of any situation, no matter how desperate it seems at the time. And that's not to say that it's an easy thing, or to make light of it, or that, you know, we're trying to minimize it. No, of course not, you know. There's a time for us to grieve, and there's a time for us when we need that time to go through that process. But then there is a time for us as the Lord's people to, all right, okay, now we must rise and we must minister to others in the Lord's name, right? And there's a trap there, I know, and I'm not, you know, like I said, I know people who've been through this, and I was tempted to go there myself a couple of times, to sink into a deep depression that lasts for a lengthy period of time. I've been there myself, so low into the pit that frankly, I remember crying out to the Lord, and really my cry was, Lord, if you do not lift me out of this pit that I am now in, I am completely finished. I am. I'm done. It's over. And he just did, you know? And he did. He put me back on the rock. There's a time for us, and we can keep going down, and the enemy would like us to stay down, and he wants us down, because if we stay down there, we're not coming up, you see, and we will check out, and we'll disappear into a corner, and nobody ever hear from us again, nobody ever see from us again, because the pain is so great. And like I said, we're not minimizing the pain, it's real, and there's a time for proper grieving, and a time to, you know, deal with that, to wrestle with that, but we need to stand on the rock of the Lord's. And understand who he is and what he is doing, and allow him to do that work in our hearts and not stay down there, but rise up and serve the Lord in the midst of it, as hard as that can be. Look at verse 7 here. Our hope for you is steadfast. Our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so you also will partake of the consolation. There's hope for you in your situation, beloved. There is. And we can face dark days, as we've talked about, right? But Paul was confident. As you're facing this, you're also going to have the comfort. You're going to have the consolation. And there's hope for us in the midst of our difficulty too, in the Lord and in nowhere else. I remember, you know, when we first heard about Nicole, we were actually in Boston visiting my cousin. So that was just the worst 10-hour drive home of my life. We never spoke a word. It was just unbelievable. And, you know, the first night we got home, our habit, you know, was to, we kneel beside the bed and pray every night. And literally, as we kneeled beside the bed that night, my wife and I it was like, oh, Lord. And that's it. That's all we could get out. And the next morning, we were so troubled. It was Sunday morning that we said, we cannot go to church today. We cannot face the Lord's people. It's just too impossible. But, you know, and we went to a brethren church, and so we had the Lord's Supper at 9:30, and we had the preaching at 11, and so we skipped the first meeting, but then, you know, we came under conviction. It's like, no, we can't do this. What are we doing, right? So we went for 11, and sure enough, the preacher had exactly the message that we needed to hear, and we realized what a mistake we made. You see, you know, pulling away from the Lord is not the answer in our troubles, right? We should have gone and been immersed in the love of God. You know, that's where we need to be as the Lord's people. And Paul is confident of this hope and of this comfort for these people. But sometimes we can pull away as the Lord's people too. We can retreat a little bit. And that's not the answer. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Yes, yes. And in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And I believe that worship is so important in the life of the believer. Because, you know, it just lifts us into the presence of God. As we worship him, we get our eyes on him, and we feel his joy and his presence with us. It lifts us out. And so we have hope, beloved, in the midst of our situation. The Lord is there. He's ever there waiting and wanting to do a work in our hearts and lives. And then in verse 8 and 9, he talks about the fact, right, that he didn't want them to be ignorant of their trouble. Now listen to that, and I want you to remember, I mean, this is Paul, right? This is the Apostle Paul, the man who wrote most of the New Testament. He says he was burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that he even despaired of life. This is Paul wanting to die. Whatever trouble he was facing here in Asia was so great that even he wanted to die. He despaired of life. That's how great this particular burden was. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. And so Paul knew what he was talking about here. I mean, we read in other places in the scriptures, right, of all the things that Paul endured. And it was not an easy life. There was a man who was stoned and shipwrecked and just, you know, chased across the world for the cause of Christ, beaten many times, imprisoned. And whatever he was facing was so great, he wanted to die. And so we are not above that as the Lord's people. These things are very real. They come into our hearts and lives, and he's not talking here about a stub toe. He's talking about the deepest things that we face as Christians, right? Terrible things that bring us to that point of utter despair and even having a death sentence. But notice in verse 9 what he says. Here's another reason, right? Another reason is that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. We, through his Christ, we learn to trust in the Lord who raises the dead. Not in ourselves. Paul says we've learned not to trust in ourselves through all this extreme trial that we faced. the only one that we can possibly trust in is the Lord. He's the only one that's going to rescue us here. He's the only one that's going to lift us out of that pit, just like it was for me during my period of depression. There was a six-month period after Janet's brother committed suicide where I went into a depressive state because it just weighed upon me in many ways that we won't get into tonight. And I really felt, I started to feel within my own heart that I was useless and I was no good and I was a waste of time and the Lord made a huge mistake on me and it would be better if I had never been born. I mean, that's what I was thinking for about a six-month period. But as the Lord brought me out of that and up and through that, right, He taught me to trust in Him and not myself because I don't have the strength to bring myself out of those trials and tribulations. I don't have it within me. And, you know, we see lots of interesting little cute little quips on Facebook. But really, the truth is that there's no strength within me. It's the Lord's, right? And so Paul says, we learn to trust in the Lord who raises the dead.
Amen.
The power over even the dead. That's the one we trust in, not ourselves, not the arm of flesh. And as we face the difficulties of life, where are we turning to, right? Who are we turning to? We need to be turning to the Lord at all times, keeping our eyes fixed upon Him and understanding He is the only power. And that we, in and of ourselves, have no ability whatsoever. And you know, God's power is made perfect in weakness. That's what He says. His power is made perfect in our weakness. And that's an interesting thing to me. It's a great mystery, I suppose. But the Lord doesn't need, you know, big and strong and mighty people. He needs hearts that are surrendered and are submissive to Him and are trusting in Him alone to do great things. And, you know, I saw that when I was, I think I probably shared that story too, but I love sharing stories. You know, a few years ago when I was in North Carolina, and the Lord put me together with a young single woman in her early 20s to go and share the gospel door to door. And my heart was really discouraged and I was depressed because I figured, okay, here I'm in my mid-40s and I'm supposed to be the Bible teacher. And, you know, here's this young lady and I'm supposed to be here learning. And, you know, but the Lord taught me through Abby that, you know, He doesn't need middle-aged guys who are preachers who think they got it all going on. No, not at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite, right? And He showed me that Abby was a tremendous young lady, and the Lord used her in powerful ways to reach people. That just, she taught me. I was instructed by this young woman. And the Lord, you know, we don't trust in ourselves. We trust in the Lord who raises the dead. This is what He says. And that's another reason that we can, another reason that we go through difficulties, I think, is the Lord wants to teach us that, to bring us down to the end of ourselves. And understand that, you know, God's way up is down, really. I mean, you know, we need to go down. He needs to go up. Look, Paul said, right, I must decrease. He must increase. And so the Lord is teaching us to trust in Him. He raises the dead. In other words, He can do anything in any situation. And even when we have the sentence of death and we are in the pit and we cannot see the way out, God can raise us up. He can do that because He is the one that has the power to do that. Verse 10, He delivered us. He does deliver us. We trust that He will still deliver us. And notice verse 11, you also, here's more reasons, you also helping together in prayer for us. Another reason why we go through trials, I believe, is the Lord wants to rally His people in prayer. Prayer is one of those great mysteries to me in many ways. I mean, I believe in an all-powerful God who does everything according to the counsel of His will, and He doesn't need mankind, and nonetheless, He calls us to pray and to work together with Him in this way. I don't understand it all. Nonetheless, He calls us to do that. And here He's saying, you also are helping together in prayer for us. And when a brother or sister is in need, we rally around in prayer. And I don't understand all of that, but the Lord calls us to that. And that's another reason why people are going through difficulties. The Lord is bringing people together in prayer, and what a blessing and a privilege it is to pray for one another. Intercessory prayer. It's just wonderful. And if you don't do that, I would encourage you to do that. And you know, there's different ways to help you with that. And you can, you know, kind of organize your week. And maybe, you know, for us, because we've traveled extensively over the years, you know, it's at the point now where I need to start organizing by province. You know, today I'll pray for Cape Breton, and then tomorrow PEI, and then New Brunswick, and Quebec, and Ontario, and, you know. Because there's just so many believers that need prayer, right? And, you know, Hugh brought up a good point last week, and it's true for me too. You know, we have the prayer request at the beginning of the meeting, and very few of us, you know, bring them forward as if there's not many needs. Of course, there is many, but we're a little shy to say, and I understand that. I'm the same way. But there's so much prayer opportunity, so much ministry for us to pray for one another's believers. It's huge. Just a huge ministry to pray for one another. He brings us together. It's a help to those who are suffering. And look at this. Not only that, but that thanks may be given by many on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. As we see God answer prayer, another purpose is that many thanks will return to God. As they see the gift that was granted through the many. You see, as the believers, as we gather together to pray about that situation, and the Lord acts in a powerful way, then much thanksgiving goes back up to God in that situation. It's a glory to Him by many persons for that particular gift granted. You know, and we need to pause in our prayer life and to see the Lord answering. You know, the Lord always has an answer for prayer, as Warren Wiersbe likes to say. It's yes, no, or wait. But there's always an answer, you know? And it's one of those three. But, you know, there's often times that we're like the 10 lepers, right? We're like the 9 who were all healed by the Lord, and we get healed, and 9 run off, and only 1 comes back to say thank you. And I'm like that, you know? When the Lord answers a prayer, it's like, oh, that's cool, and we keep moving. We got to stop and thank the Lord and bless the Lord for answering our prayers. And that's another reason that we go through suffering. So we just begin to touch on this subject tonight, beloved. And there's so much here for us to consider. But the point of it is that we have a God who loves us, who comforts us in all of these things. And He is at work in the midst of our struggles. And so it's not without purpose. It's not pointless. It's not random, as if, you know, it just happened because I got bad luck. No. Not at all. The Lord is at work in your life for reasons that you may not understand now, that I can't see at this time, but will be revealed in due time. And we can use that to minister to others, to comfort others in the Lord's name, to come alongside those who've gone through the exact same things that we have and help them through that, because the Lord's already taken us through it. And He's taken me through this now, because 2 years from now there's another brother or sister who are going to go through it, and He's going to need you to be there ready to minister to them in His name. And that's the answer to the prayer. Lord, I need comfort. And He sends that brother or sister into your life. And that's the answer to your prayer, right? He's at work. And we have the opportunity to pray for one another and to help one another in that, and to give many thanks to the Lord for all these things. So that's just a very brief thing. I didn't want to take a lot of time tonight because I know you're going to have a meeting after. But I hope that's an encouragement to you. You know, it is to me, to understand that, you know, the Lord is at work. Other life would be pretty hopeless, you know. And really, for those who don't know the Lord Jesus, there isn't much hope. I mean, it's despair. The first lady I met here on the first day, I came into Inverness on my first day here just to pray by myself. I just want to come to the town. I want to scope this town out. I want to pray. I went up on, I guess the locals call it Snob Hill. I went up there because you have a good view. You can see the whole town. I can pray about the town, right? And the Lord brought me down here and brought me to a lady named Sue, who, when I shared the gospel with her, she says, man, do I never need to hear that. And, you know, praise the Lord, right? People are seeking. But, you know, she was in deep distress. And I could tell that. Like, she was just depressed. And, you know, we share it. Life is not easy. And there's many hopeless situations. And for people who don't know the Lord, there is no hope. That's just the bottom line. There is no real hope that we can offer people except Christ Himself, right? And we can come to Him by faith, and we can take that load. We've been singing about it tonight. And place it on Him. He wants to take it. He wants to carry it for us. And then we can know the joy and the peace of the Lord. And we can have this incredible hope that our lives are now in His hands. And for those of us who know the Lord, He says, cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Cast it all on Him. You can't bear it alone. I can't bear it. I cannot possibly bear the difficulties that are coming in my life. And Jesus says, just give it to me. I'll take it. We just got to give it to Him and let it go. And again, I'm not trying to minimize or trust me. I know. There is a time for grief and for wrestling with these things. The Lord knows. And so anyway, I'll just leave that with you, and maybe I'll just pray quickly, and then we'll give you a couple hugs and we'll get out of here. Get out of your hair. Father, we just thank You so much, Lord, for Your love and your mercy, Your comfort to us. Thank You for the hope that You have given us in the Lord Jesus. And Father, we just bless Your name tonight. Thank You, Father. Lord, for everyone in this room who is facing difficulties now, Lord, whatever it is, I ask, Lord, that You would comfort them now. Father, may they know Your presence and Your peace. Lord, bring them through it. Lord, give them strength and help. Father, use them in a powerful way through the circumstance, Father. And Lord, we just commit each one to You. Lord, thank You so much for grace and mercy. Thank You for everyone here tonight. Thank You for the privilege of having this study every week in Inverness, Lord. We bless your name. And we commit ourselves to you now. Give me thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sorry, I never gave anybody else a chance to chime in there at the end. Any other comments? Or?
It just reminds me of Hannah Widall Smith, who wrote the book, God of All Comfort. And he alluded to that. Trusting God, she made a statement to surrender to God, the means of surrender and trust. You need both the surrender and the trust.
Okay, well, the Lord bless you. We'll see you, Lord willing, in about 4 weeks, approximately. Pray us back, will you?